Well, greetings and welcome to The Expert Fan. I'm your host, Adam J. LaCassio. I'm an editor and contributing writer here to ArenaFan.com. And this represents our first podcast that we're making available to the visitors of the website. We hope you enjoy it. The podcast is just really a different medium for us to kind of editorialize and bring out some facts and figures and a few predictions as to what's been happening in the AFL. Now that week one is in the books, hopefully this will be a weekly contribution to the site where you can all get your fix for AFL knowledge here. We had some surprises in week one. We had a couple of letdowns in week one, and hopefully we can build on that, and it'll be a great 20th season leading up to the Arena Bowl in Las Vegas. I can tell you personally, I'm looking forward to that Arena Bowl in Las Vegas because the day after the Arena Bowl, me and my fiance are going to be married out there. Now, I don't know if my home team is actually going to be out there. I certainly hope they will, and it'd make a very nice wedding present, I can tell you. So I'm actually looking forward to getting out there to Vegas as well. It's going to be a fun trip. We're going to be married at the Luxor, so it's going to be pretty exciting. As we go forth with our maiden voyage of the podcast here, hopefully I'll have some predictions for you towards the end, and we're going to touch on a few subjects that seem to crop up after watching the first week's worth of games here. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into the material here. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I hope that this will become a regular fixture on your computer here, and I hope I don't take up too much hard drive space for you here. So why don't we just dispense with the pleasantries and get started, okay? I hope you enjoy it, and once again, this is The Expert Fan, and I'm your host, Adam LaCassio. Well, week one is in the books, and what did we learn? Well, basically, last year's Arena Bowl teams pretty much picked up exactly where they left off. Both Georgia and Colorado both scored wins. Georgia over division foe Orlando, and Colorado beat the Crush in a rematch of their conference championship game over there. So it looks like those two teams are going to be sitting atop of the charts right now as far as everybody's power pole or whatever is going to be concerned. And then probably the biggest surprise, if you go to the other way, a team that was ranked up pretty high was the Tampa Bay Storm, and for some inexplicable reason, they failed to show up in Philadelphia last week, and as a result, pretty much had it handed to them. It was a pretty embarrassing performance there. I don't know if it was the lack of not having their coach, or did Philadelphia just do that much to improve in the offseason? It seems to me like Philly is getting an awful lot of publicity going into this season. Their new slogan, Time to Win. They've got Jon Bon Jovi in all their commercials here. It really seems like there's a huge marketing blitz that's associated with that team right now for some reason. And after that first week's game, maybe it's some of it's warranted, but I'll tell you this, in the span of time that the Soul has been in the league, they've really been overhyped, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to buy into this Philly hype machine until they can put together a complete season. So you could pretty much put me on the Philadelphia Soul skeptic list, because I think the wheels are going to come off of that at some point during the season. They're going to have to prove to me that they're actually the team that they're supposed to be. I know they were all saying the right things when they were an expansion franchise, and they were talking about how they were going to do this, and they weren't just going to try and, you know, put up a good fight. They were going to try and win. But you know what? Until they do, I'm sorry, but I'm just not a believer in that squad just yet. So
the devil are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. So it's kind of difficult to get a handle on, I know. But if any of you watched that Philadelphia Tampa Bay Storm game that was on NBC, you saw that one play, that touchdown pass from Graziani to Mike Brown in the front corner of the end zone that bounced off the wall and hit the turf and came straight up into Mike Brown's arms, and it was ruled a touchdown. And this was not a close play by any means. This was not something that was like a judgment call on a ref. This was a blatant bounce. I mean, I've seen balls go to the shortstop with a lower bounce than what Mike Brown picked up off the turf, and it was ruled a touchdown. Now, the first thing I'm going to hear from people is, well, it wasn't the difference in the game because they won by more than 8. Well, you know something? It's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more than just a touchdown. You can't just look at point differential there, because you got to remember, that's 8 more that's 8 points for the Earth, 7 points for the Storm that could have gone their way. They could have scored a touchdown. They could have had a big momentum shift there, and they were not out of it at that point in the game. Yeah, it got a little out of hand later on, but what do you expect when you've got your quarterback skipping touchdowns to his receivers and the refs are calling it a good play?
Well, I guess I really shouldn't be too surprised of that that call, because the game was called by Bill Lemonnier, who, in my opinion, is probably one of the worst referees in the league. I mean, the guy's constantly out of position. He never makes the right call. And there are times I can remember watching him ref local games here where, like, he's, like, utterly confused, and he's constantly bringing in the other referee. I mean, you need to know the rules of this game before you actually go out and take the field. Now, naturally, with these bouncing touchdowns that they're allowing in the league, it's going to beg the question, when is it going to be time for instant replay? They've obviously got it working in the NFL. They've obviously got it working in college football, and it seems to be working okay, even though the formats are a little bit different. So how do you get it into arena football? I mean, is the game just moves way too fast to not have instant replay in here? I mean, these refs can't get down the field, and they can't position themselves where they can see the ball. They're going to need instant replay to help them make the right call, or else, you know what? Yeah, it was the first game of the season, and yeah, it didn't turn out to be a big deal in the course of the game here, but what would happen if that happened during an arena bowl? I mean, a bouncing, skipping touchdown. I mean, this was not a terribly difficult call to make with replay. It would have gotten overturned in a second. Now, if I'm setting up the instant replay, I know the whole idea of the game is speed, and I know the whole idea of the clock running constantly and trying to keep the scoring up is basically what will dictate how, not when, but how this gets implemented in the league. So I say you kind of combine college and combining college with the pro game, because I don't believe in giving the coaches challenges, because to tell you the truth, the coaches challenges in the NFL have almost become like an expected part of the game, like punting on 4th and 8. It's kind of taken for granted. Now, it's like, oh, okay, it was a catch, and it looked close, here comes the flag. It's getting to the point where it's, like, predictable. And, you know, you might get lucky, and it's almost like you have to strategize with it, because you might get lucky with one, you know? And it's like, well, I better save it. I might, you know, there might be a more questionable call later on. So I think you got to take the challenges out of the coach's hands. But what I do think they should do is have the booth review, just like they do in college. But you can't be doing it between the goal lines, because you can't be stopping the game every 20 seconds. But what I think you should do is reserve the replay for scoring plays. Anything that takes place in the end zone, like a fullback going for the goal line or a rolling catch in the end zone, anything that results in a score should be able to be reviewed. That way you can preserve the integrity of the game, you can preserve the integrity of the scoring, and you won't have any more of those freakish Mike Brown touchdowns like you saw on Saturday in that game. It was absolutely atrocious. I mean, does the league like Bon Jovi that much? I mean, come on. Okay. And, you know, I'll give Bon Jovi a hard time here, you know, because, you know, well, basically because I can. But I just... kind of crack up when I see all those Philadelphia Soul jerseys in the end zone that all have Bon Jovi's name on the back of that. I think that's actually hilarious, because it almost implies that he's a player. And I don't know if I'm all that intimidated by John Bon Jovi coming at me, okay? I mean, yeah, well,
The devil are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But anyway, speaking of merchandise, I actually had it on my calendar to make a point to check out the Arena Football Team Store when it was scheduled to open last Monday. And when I woke up in the morning, I went out on the website, and I thought I would check it out and see what was there. And it still said that, well, the website wasn't up yet. And I was like, oh, okay, so it's not up yet. All right. But it still said that the time was that day. I figured, okay, not a big deal. So I went to work, and I logged on from work. Well, when I got to work, it turns out that they pushed the date back a week. It was like, oh, we're not going to be open until Friday now. So obviously they didn't meet their own deadline for whatever reason, okay? Now, you know, I work in a place during the day where, yeah, things don't necessarily go according to plan, and sometimes you need a little bit more time. That I can understand, okay? But when that store finally opened last Friday and I went out there, there's, like, nothing at all out there of any kind of substance. And I was like, it took you an extra week to get 6 items up on everybody's page? I mean, literally, it's a hat, a t-shirt, a jersey, a fleece, and a mini helmet. And that's all every single team has. Now, I gotta tell you, they made such a big deal about that Nike thing, the Nike contract that they signed last year. They made such a huge deal about that. I gotta tell you, I'm really disappointed. I mean, when I think Nike, I think like Air Jordans. I think of those like hot pink Andre Agassi shoes that they used to have in the late 80s. I mean, I think Nike has their own factory outlets in malls. Why can't they come up with some better merchandise than this? I mean, this is really disappointing. And you have one hat, one t-shirt, and this is like this for every team. It's really late. Now, you can always go to your arena and buy it, but you're going to pay these inflated prices for who knows if it's even, you know, if it's nice at all. But what if you don't live in the area? Let's say you're relocated. Let's say you don't live in San Jose anymore. You think you're going to find Sabercat stuff in Kennebunkport, Maine? No, you have to go to these websites to find merchandise, and the selection's just not there. And it's just a sad case of just all show and no go. Why would you make such a big deal about this? Why would you struggle and fight to have this merchandising deal with a company that's not giving you any merchandise? To tell you the truth, it's actually getting to be indicative of the league, based on the fact that everything that they get, they pimp so hard to tell you that it was a good deal and it was a big thing for the league. But it turns out that the companies that they're doing business with are just kind of dragging their feet on this. Another prime example is NBC. You get all this thing, oh, we got a TV deal, we got a TV deal, and like a little bit more than half of the games are on TV this season. And that's not right. I mean, why are you excited about that? We're getting bumped for senior golf and bull riding. Come on, give me a serious, serious break. It just makes no sense. And unfortunately, you know, between the team store, between the Nike deal, and between NBC, this is starting to look like a serious pattern. I mean, what could be next? What could we look forward to somewhere down the line? Now, at this point, I would take phone calls, but I don't have a phone, so that's not going to be an option here. But while we're on the subject of merchandising, I'll tell you one group that did get it right is EA Sports. And if you watched any of Week 1's games, you saw the new commercial for the EA Sports video game that's going to be coming out soon. I'll tell you, AFL should just turn over all their marketing to EA Sports, because they had it right with that commercial. That commercial was brilliant because it really grasped the essence of what arena football is supposed to be. That would probably be that commercial was interesting to someone who was not a fan of arena football just because it looked cool. It just looked like it was a lot of fun. It looked like a fun game, and I can't wait to get my hands on this thing next week. It's going to be awesome, and it looks like it was a very, very well done game.
Of course.
Yeah, see? So, watch that commercial and see how it was produced and what they put into it. That really captured what the sport was about. And the NBC, well, if they ever get off their butts, they should be running that commercial a whole lot, because I guarantee that people are going to buy the game, and when they buy the game, they're going to want to see what the real sport is. That game's going to have a lot of video game people on board for that. I know I'm going to be one of them, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't have a lot of details as far as the game goes, and I won't bore you with reading off of some website about it. But I will say this. It does look like it's a good game. It does look like it was a well-designed game. I just hope that the controls and everything like that kind of match up with what is actually supposed to be happening in the game. It looks like a lot of fun. Hopefully it'll live up to the hype, and we'll be able to enjoy it, because I still have that Kurt Warner's Arena Blitz on my PlayStation 1 inside, and I can't even see that game. If you've ever played it, it's like the characters and the pixels, it's like impossible to even... it's impossible to even look at. But this one is actually clear and crisp, and it looks like it's a... It looks like a very, very well-crafted video game. So only time will tell, and hopefully on next week's podcast I'll have some kind of review for you on this one. But let's jump into the Power Poll. And these are my top 8 teams that I have. Actually, I'll tell you my top 10. Okay. Number 1 and 2, no surprise there, I've got Colorado and Georgia at 1 and 2, respectively. Followed by number 3, the Nashville Cats. Number 4, the LA Avengers. Number 5, the Utah Blaze, who came out of the gates. Well, and I've been affectionately calling them the Arizona Rattlers North, just because so many of those players went with Danny White to the Blaze. So they had a good win this weekend. Dallas I have as 6. I haven't given up on Tampa Bay just yet, because I don't think that game was really indicative of what they are. I have them at 7, followed by Columbus and Philadelphia. Like I said, I am a Philadelphia skeptic. I am not sold on this team. When they are 9-2, come back, and maybe I'll have them in the top 5, but I'm still not convinced of this team. And number 10, I have the KC Brigade, or the, I guess, if the Blaze are going to be the Rattlers North, then I guess the Blaze, or then I guess the Brigade will be the Voodoo West. But those are my top 10. On the outside looking in, I've got San Jose, and I've got Orlando at number 12. So, for the upcoming week, what do we have to look forward to? Well, to kick things off, we've got Kansas City Kansas City taking on the Predators at Orlando. That game's going to be on FSN. Well, Orlando's playing at home, but I think Orlando is a shell of what they used to be. Free agency killed them this season. So I'm going to take KC over Orlando. Yes, a road win. I'm going to call it an upset, but I've got KC to beat Orlando in the jungle. Also on Friday, you've got Tampa Bay at Grand Rapids, their second road game for the Storm. Grand Rapids doesn't have Filial. Looks like they cut him, and they've got a no-name quarterback up there. It is a road game, and Tampa Bay has just been abysmal on the road for the past 2 weeks, but they got it done last year against Columbus when they needed a win. So I think Coach Ewert, who's going to be filling in for Tim Markham this week as he serves the last week of his suspension, we'll get the win there. So Tampa Bay wins on the road in Grand Rapids. Now, here's a strange one. You've got Columbus at Nashville. Both teams won last week. But I think that when you go to get down to it, I just think Nashville's got too much firepower to take on Columbus, which has actually become the Tampa Bay Storm of 2002, because they've got John Kaleo, David Saunders, and Kelvin Kinney up there. But I'm going to say Nashville over the Destroyers. The Dragons versus the Rush. Well, the Dragons are playing off of a loss, and the Rush are playing off of a lo- off of a loss. So who's going to be able to get it done here? I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm not a Dragons fan per se, but I'm going to say the Dragons beat the Rush in that game at Chicago. Austin at Arizona. Well, Austin had its way last week and was one of two teams in the South to actually win in that five-team division. But I'm going to have to take Arizona to win at home over the Wranglers. Another game is Dallas at Utah. Well, this was a tough one. Dallas won and Utah won. But I think that Utah is actually going to play a little bit above its head while people are trying to figure out who this team is. I think they're going to surprise some people. So I'll take Utah over Dallas. The two NBC games coming up, L.A. at Philadelphia. I didn't get a chance to see L.A. play, but they don't have John Kaleo this year, and they're going to be taking on a Philadelphia that did show some defense. Okay, now I know I'm going to contradict what I just said. I'm not sold on Philadelphia, but you know what? If Philadelphia can play some defense, they're going to be at home. I'll take Philadelphia to beat L.A. at home. Colorado plays Georgia in a rematch of the Arena Bowl. Well, the thing that really kept Georgia from winning that Arena Bowl is just that Troy Bergeron decided to pick the wrong game to play as like a rookie. And as a matter of fact, it showed because I think he had a couple. I remember he had a couple of fumbles. He dropped a few easy passes, and it ended up catching up to him in the end. But they're going to be playing at Georgia, and I think I'm going to give Georgia the nod in this one. Georgia has been playing lights out at home. Colorado going on the road, that took a little bit of tweaking for them to each inch out a win last week. So I'm going to take Georgia over the Crush at home. San Jose, which lost James Rowe to a concussion last week, hopefully he will be back, takes on the Las Vegas Gladiators in Las Vegas. San Jose is not the type of team that's going to lose two in a row to start the season. I'd be very surprised if they did. So I'm going to take San Jose and Mark Grebe over the Las Vegas Gladiators over there. Although that should be a very interesting game. I want to see if San Jose can put together that defensive backfield with Cleavon Thomas and with Omar Smith back there. So those are my picks for the week. We're going to see how we did last week, and I expect you all to hold me to this because, quite frankly, it's not much fun if there isn't any kind of accountability. Well, that is going to about wrap up our podcast for this first week of the AFL season.
Thank God.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, next week we will have the EA Sports video game in hand. We will get to see how many teams get to split the first two games as opposed to the ones that are going to end up 2-0 and the ones that are going to be ending up winless. That's why they play the season, right? I'm going to say that I don't think that you're going to see a lot of the same teams in the Arena Bowl this year. I don't think you're going to see Colorado back there. I don't think you're going to see Georgia back there. And besides, I think that's a pretty gutless prediction, too. There's people who say, oh, it's going to be a rematch of the last game. That was in the AFL Preview magazine. I was like, boy, you went on a limb on that one. I really don't know what we're looking at as far as Arena Bowl quality teams here because, well, we've got a handful of new ones here. You don't know how the New Orleans team is going to play being in Kansas City, and you don't know how exactly some of these other teams are going to pan out. It's like Utah, who was pretty impressive last week and has a winnable game again this week. So we'll see how it all turns out. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to The Expert Fan. I am your host, Adam LoCascio. And keep coming back to ArenaFan.com and checking us out here on a weekly basis. And hopefully we'll get caught up with you next week. Good luck to all your teams. Hope everyone makes it out safe. And for all of you people out there who tuned in, thank you for inviting me onto your hard drive. And you have a good weekend. And enjoy the games. This is Adam, and signing off. We'll see you next week.